You're listening to Second Half Sports, the leading sports podcast show, where raw opinions, hot takes, and bold predictions are a staple. Brought to you from the Rose City of Portland, Oregon. Now, here are your hosts, Cameron Sissel and Nubar Akparian, in 3, 2, 1.
Where is it you wanna go? Where is it you wanna go? Go. Go.
I knew there was gonna be a third one in there.
Wasn't that nice?
No.
I had to warm up the golden pipes. It's been a while since I sang, you know, our weekly commercials.
It's been a while since you've been on the podcast, bro.
I know, it's been a solid 3 weeks. It's I've missed it. I think about it all the time. I've been very, very busy with a lot of external things that have pulled me every which way, being work and running and life and family, and I've been bummed. And I know you have
too.
Not
your friends, though. Not me. I've only seen you once.
I know. I gave you a big fat smooch when I saw you.
You did give me a nice hug. I appreciate it.
But yeah, I've been pretty bummed that I haven't been able to do this. You know what I have been? I've been very impressed. You folks out there listening to the podcast should be very grateful, and you should feel very blessed that you are in the presence and being able to listen to a solo podcast as good as we can pull off with Mr. Nubar. The intro
sing my praises.
The intro in the last episode especially was phenomenal work. And I said that to Nubar when I saw him this past weekend. But I am excited to be back. I'm excited to, even though we're doing it over our online software today and I still can't see Nubar, it feels good to be back and actually chat with you and talk about.
You can't see me?
Stuff that, no, I can't see you. But talk about
I can
stuff
see you.
That we've missed and stuff that, that we have going on right now. You cannot see me.
I'm watching you right now. Yeah, you're on my baby monitor on my on my desk. I've attached a baby monitor to you this entire time.
The baby monitor, I have a white noise machine going, I have a crib, everything.
There you go. Well, I appreciate that. I was a little not worried, because at the end of the day I was like, fuck it, whatever, it's our podcast. I was interested to see what everybody would think about the intro, because it was something clearly different. And I still managed a way to sort of tie it into basketball. But I appreciate that. It made me really want to play D&D again. And I got you into D&D. I had you play one game of D&D, or two games now, with you, Jonah, Eric, and I. So maybe it's time we bust out a third session. I don't know. That made me really want to do it. But yeah, a lot of people really love that intro. So maybe it's in the cards. Maybe we start doing a little bit more of that.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it because it just kept me on the edge of my seat and it kept me really, really interested the whole time. And that's kind of what every time we've done D&D, which hasn't been a lot with me, but I've been interested just because it's like all of your storytelling is pretty interesting. So when I turned on the podcast and heard that, it was tough to stop or put it on pause.
Well, there you go. There you have it.
Well, there you go. And I said, that's the last nice thing I'm going to say.
If you ever want to join our Second Half Sports Dungeons and Dragons league, send me an invite and I might screen you. Maybe, who knows, maybe you'll get to play. Cameron, today's episode is a little bit different because not a lot has been going on in other sports. So we wanted to dedicate some time. And if you've already read the title, you already know what it's about. We wanted to dedicate some time and talk about our running journey, I guess you could call it. How you got into it, how I got into it, some things that we really love about it. Training, equipment, all that jazz. And I think it's really apt because, like I said, you've been gone from the podcast for a few weeks, but you had your half marathon in Vancouver, BC, and I just ran my half marathon, the Savi Island half, past Monday, a few days ago. So I think it was very apt. So I'm excited for this topic, but I know, first of all, what's been going on, man? Do you want to talk about anything before we get into it? I know we have a few news around the leagues, but I thought I'd ask.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's been 3 weeks. I've I've golfed a handful of times. That's felt really good. The weather here in Portland has been a little bit better the past weeks. So that's been really nice. So I've gotten out and golfed. That has felt amazing. Usually whenever you take time off of golfing, you suck when you play again. This was really random, but I played 2 weeks ago and this was like the first time I had played in like probably 4 or 5 months. And it maybe was the best round of golf I've ever played. So that was a lot of fun. Like you said, you touched on it. I ran my Vancouver BC half marathon, 2 weekends ago. And that was just gorgeous. Like it was on the University of BC's campus. It was along the water through like a bunch of neighborhoods. Man, all the houses that like when we ran through neighborhoods, all the houses in Vancouver, BC, there's so much money in BC. They were all huge and just like I was distracted the whole race. You and I have talked about it a little bit. We'll talk about it a little bit once we get into the main topic of today's episode. But I wasn't really running for like my fastest pace ever because this was just kind of like a tune-up for races that we have later this year, but also just to like enjoy a race for once, you know? So it was nice because it was just distracting like the whole time looking at the water, looking at the mountains, looking at houses, just like enjoying running with other people, chatting with other people, stuff like that. So great time. BC was a great time outside of the race as well. Nightlife was great. We went to a CFL, Canadian Football League game. That was so weird to like watch football in June. And not only football, but like Canadian football, different rules, different players, stuff like that. So that was really interesting. But besides that, like I said too earlier, just been so slammed with work. You know, I've had some other opportunities come up within my company. So I'm currently, you know, just kind of figuring out where I want to take my career and stuff like that. But it's just been, it's been a roller coaster of 3 weeks. That's for sure. So I know that you've been busy and you've had your race as well. And I'd love to hear about that. But yeah, that's what I've been up to.
It's exhausting.
Yeah. I'm tired just telling you about that.
You want to know what I just took up a few days ago?
What'd you take up?
I told you I'm going to be buying a drum set for when I move, because I'll have a little bit more space, and why not? I started learning Japanese, actually.
Japanese? Interesting.
Yeah, well, I mean, I speak two languages, and I always love languages and learning new languages. I also watch a lot of anime that's in Japanese, and I thought, you know what? I'm kind of getting tired of reading it all the time. Might as well learn what they're saying. So I found this like podcast on Spotify. And I've been listening to, and each episode's like about 7 minutes long. And then the woman like just says the words and like talks about it. So it's like broken up into easy, medium, difficulty, hard difficulty, whatever. So I started learning some. So that's pretty exciting. Oh, that's intense. Hear some? You want to hear some Japanese?
I'd love to.
Konnichiwa. That's about all. That's all I know so far.
I thought you were gonna say so much more right there.
No, so I know obviously konnichiwa is hello, sayonara is goodbye, arigato gozaimasu is like the formal way to say thank you. There was another one that was like I am nubar. I'm trying to remember what it was. I think it was like watashi wa nubar desu, something like that. Watashi wa nubar desu. So you'd be like, konnichiwa, watashi wa nubar desu. Man, let me tell you, knowing Armenian does not help me to learn Japanese.
Yeah, well, what you just said, right over my head.
Yeah, well. Okay, Cameron, I think it's time we get into some sports, but before we get into the whole running thing, there's some things that we need to talk about, so let's just kick that over to Johnny Boy. Take it away, Johnny Boy.
News around the leagues.
News around the leagues. So we're going to really just kind of dive into a little bit. There's like Nubar said, there's not much going on in like NBA, NFL, the MLB is chugging right along. We're getting closer and closer to the MLB All-Star break. So we'll cover that when it gets closer with who's on the teams, who's in the home run derby, stuff like that. But in the meantime, NBA news. I know Nubar covered most of it. You covered most of it last week. I don't really have anything new, besides
there was, a big, There was a big trade that happened, and it was the Rudy Gobert trade.
Yeah.
Which we didn't talk about, which I guess we can talk about.
We could. I just have one major opinion about it, but besides that, I don't know. It doesn't really. My major opinion about it is it could go down as the worst trade in NBA history, possibly.
For who?
For the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
I think they gave up so much. They pretty much gave up building in the future. They gave up 5 first round picks. Essentially, they gave up 6 first round picks because they gave up their pick, the dude that they picked this year in the first round. So essentially, they gave up 6 Walker first round Kessler. Picks. And in return, you get Rudy Gobert, yes, but I just don't like Rudy Gobert I don't like him as a player. I don't like him as a person. I don't think he fits on the Timberwolves, so I don't like him on that team. I just think they gave up too much. I didn't, when I thought about what team he would go to, I didn't even peg them as a team in the beginning that he would go to potentially because it just didn't make sense already. So then when it happened, I was like, that still doesn't make sense to me. So yeah, I just think it could go down as the worst trade in NBA history. There's been terrible trades, yes, but this one I don't know. If I'm a Minnesota fan, I'm feeling like, okay, like it's exciting that you get a new player, but you gave up so much. Like if the Blazers did this, I'd be pretty bummed. I don't know about you. But.
Well, a lot of Blazers players are also pretty bummed that you re-signed Jusuf Nurkić, but that's a different conversation.
No, I knew that needed to happen.
Yeah. Well, so the Jazz ended up trading Rudy Gobert to the Wolves, obviously. And the Timberwolves ended up sending away Malik Beasley, Patrick Beverley, Jared Vanderbilt, Leandro Bolmaro, and then the number 22nd pick, Walker Kessler, along with the 4 first round picks to the Jazz. But it's interesting, and I think this is the big kicker in that, is Utah is going to acquire the picks, the 2023, 2025, and 2027 picks, but they're all unprotected. Which is, I think that's the most important part of this trade, is the fact that those are unprotected, and then they do get a top 5 protected pick, but that's not until 2029. So honestly, yeah, like I can see it going pretty south. I mean, Utah is in a full rebuild right now. Like I think this is pretty self-evident that that's what they're doing. But yeah, like you said, I mean, Rudy Gobert is 30 years old too. You know, nine years in Utah. I'm not sure. And everybody's like touting it, like being like, oh, they got the Twin Towers in Minnesota now, like with Kat and Rudy Gobert. But I don't know. I mean, like they had the same sort of thing going when it was Boogie Cousins and AD in New Orleans, you know? And I don't think just those two were the ones to do it. But I don't know. I'm leaning more so that this trade favors Minnesota. But yeah, I mean, any trade could technically become the worst trade in NBA history. I don't know if this is potentially going to be that, but I think this can definitely hinder Minnesota for the long, long term if it goes south. But yeah, that's all I had for NBA.
I also, the only other thing that I wanted to bring up in the NBA was Chet Holmgren. I don't know if you saw his stat line from last night. From last night, he had like 23 points. He had a bunch. He had like 7 assists. Like he almost had a triple double. He had 23 points, 7 boards, 6 blocks, which is a summer league record. And then he had 7. It was on 78% field goal percentage. So it was an incredible first performance. I watched some of the highlights. I don't know if you caught any of those, dude. He looks insanely good. Like insanely good. He looks like a number 2 pencil Q-tip, but he looks really good. Like the skill set's definitely there, even if it takes a year or two to get, you know, bulked up and NBA speed body wise. The skill set's there, man. He's going to show some flashes this year, I think, that that are pretty reminiscent of a lot of bigger shooting posts. The Thunder overall are huge too. I think like they have one dude in their starting lineup that's under 6'5". Everybody else is 6'5" or above. And that's pretty scary.
It's pretty insane. I mean, I kind of talked about it last week in the solo episode about Chet. And while I'm not like trying to diminish that at all, it's also summer league. So you got to kind of take that like with a grain of salt a little bit. Because obviously it's like more, you know, rookie kind of guys, more green guys. But definitely like what he did was great and impressive. And I talked about it on the podcast last week where I don't think that a lack of skill is what's going to hinder him. I think the gaining, like staying the size and the frame that he is now is the most that's going to hinder him. I mean, it's kind of like KD, right? Like KD didn't necessarily need to bulk up, but KD definitely bulked up to from where he was when he first entered the league, you know?
Oh yeah.
And I think if he doesn't do that, it's going to be really difficult. But man, Bleacher Report's just all about Chet these past 2 days. Like yesterday I got like five notifications, and then today I actually got one before we started recording about how he got bodied in the post. But I mean, there's always been like some outliers, and I'm not saying Chet Holmgren is this, but there's always been outliers in the summer league. Like Denzel Valentine, he showed out for summer league, like when he was in summer league, and he's been incredibly mediocre since. And obviously I'm not comparing Denzel Valentine to Chet Holmgren, in no sense am I doing that. But again, I think it just, you got to take it with a grain of salt a little bit.
Yeah. I completely agree. I think you and I both know that he needs to, where he needs to go to bulk up.
Yeah.
New Orleans Pelicans. He needs to be on that Zion diet.
Stores. Oh.
He needs to be on that Zion diet, eating jambalaya and drinking Mountain Dew with
Bro,
Zion.
I mentioned it last week. He's looking insane.
He is looking pretty big. He's looking pretty huge right now. He's not looking fat anymore, though. Like, there was a post that he put on Instagram, I think, of he looked ripped.
Yeah.
So everybody was giving him shit, and then he probably was like, this is all part of the plan.
No way. No way that was part of the plan. He fully went Mac from It's Always Sunny, like where he just got super fat and then insanely ripped. And you can only do that when you have one thing, money.
Yeah, that is true. That's all I have for NBA news. The other thing that's starting this week is, or I think it's the end of this week, is the Las Vegas Summer League, where more teams will play. Right now it's only the California teams, pretty much, or teams that are in California. But the Las Vegas Summer League starts this weekend, I'm pretty sure. So the Blazers will be one of those teams there. That'll be really exciting to see Shaedon Sharpe play. But that will be something that we cover in the next episode as well. But for now, I also know that we didn't let Johnny Boy get in and introduce NBA news, even though it was under, you know, overarching news around the leagues. But let's let him say it just so he can say it. I mean, he looks sad right now. I'm looking at him right now.
Get it out of your system, Johnny Boy.
NBA news.
All right, so now that we've said that and we're done with NBA news, why don't you just get us right into the other one?
NFL news.
Okay, so really only one thing that we need to talk about here. I don't think there's anything else going on. We can, like, again, we can talk about it more next week if there is. Big trade today in the NFL. Carolina Panthers trade for Baker Mayfield from the Cleveland Browns. They gave the Browns a 2024 fifth round, not first, not second, not third, not fourth, fifth round pick in exchange for Baker Mayfield. The Carolina Panthers came out.
Might as well have just traded for like a stocked vending machine.
I know. It was literally nothing. I don't understand why we waited this long to do that. If I were a team that were just like questioning my quarterback room, like if I knew that the Seahawks could get Baker Mayfield, this sounds so bad because I was against getting Baker Mayfield, but if I knew that it only took a fifth round pick, I would have done it months ago. The Carolina Panthers owner and coaches came out and said that this will be an open competition between Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold. They are not going to trade Sam Darnold. They also have a dude that they drafted. They drafted a quarterback as well. So there's going to be an open competition for the starting quarterback spot. But in terms of just, you know, options, I think this is good for the Panthers. Now they have some options of Sam Darnold played really well in the first four games of the season last year. And then he got hurt and started being ass, but should be interesting.
Being ass, then he got hurt.
Sure. But it should be interesting to see them competing, who gets the spot. If one of them starts playing bad, how quick the trigger is. If that other person comes in, what do they play like? It's just a little bit more exciting than like if Sam Darnold was just shit and they didn't have anything else to do.
I like it. I'm going to say it right now. I think Baker Mayfield is the starter week one.
I think so too.
Only because the Carolina Panthers face off against the Browns week one. So kind of sells itself a little bit.
It does sell itself. It does sell itself. I think the other huge story here that's worth noting is Robbie Anderson, a receiver for the Panthers, who is also quoted of maybe retiring a month ago. He said that he was thinking about retiring. In April, he tweeted, when there were rumors about the Panthers trading for Baker Mayfield, he tweeted no with like 30 O's in all caps. And then obviously that was a huge story today. Once they traded for Baker Mayfield, Robbie Anderson came out and said that he has no problems with Baker, which I 1000% do not believe. And he probably thinks that he's shitty, which he was in Cleveland. But yeah, kind of uncomfortable going into that.
Maybe his tweet just got cut off early. Like maybe he just meant to say back in April, no problem for me, for him to be on my team, but it just got cut off like before all the rest, you know?
No way. No way we can trade for him and, you know, and only give a fifth round pick. That was probably what he was going to say.
That's past the character. Yeah. He used up too many O's. I get it. I get you, Robbie Anderson. Hey, I understand you.
So that is interesting. The other aspect of this is now that Baker Mayfield is out of Cleveland, we'll switch our sights to Cleveland with Deshaun Watson, you know, him trying to get through all his lawsuits and everything going on around him. He could very well be suspended for a season. Who knows what's going to happen with that? But now that Baker Mayfield is not in the picture anymore, if Deshaun Watson is suspended, instead of them having to make a decision between Baker Mayfield and Jacoby Brissett, it is now seemed to be that it will be Jacoby Brissett's team and he will be QB1 if Deshaun Watson is suspended. What are your thoughts on that? Would you rather have Jacoby Brissett or would you rather have Baker Mayfield?
Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. Okay. I would too. I just don't know, like as a Browns fan, now you're kind of screwed because you have no choice anymore.
As a Browns fan, you got screwed when you signed the alleged rapist.
I mean, that also is true, but you don't, again, even with that, they don't have a choice now, but to like, now they're kind of hope. Now you have to be hoping for that guy who is an alleged rapist.
Fuck, just a
shitty situation. Yeah, the Browns suck, dude.
let's end this.
Yeah, so ending our NFL news, we're going to get into our main topic. We don't have a transition for this. I'm sorry, Johnny boy.
I can make a transition real quick.
All right, go for it.
We're running into the next topic.
That was good. That was smooth. Yeah, I like that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Main topic today, episode 56.
I left you flabbergasted, Cameron.
You did. Episode 56, title episode, The Runner's Journey. This has been Newbar and I's journey. We're just going to talk about everything.
We talked about like starting this episode a lot. Like I think you and I have had multiple conversations on it, and I think it's very poignant because I don't know about you. I feel like whenever I talk about running now, I come to realize that I enjoy it, and that makes me sick because I never thought I would like running, and I hate it. But this half marathon that I just had definitely opened my eyes to the fact that I do love running. So yeah, I thought, like, what better way than just to talk about it, especially because you're the one that got me into running.
Yeah, I mean, I've been looking forward to this kind of episode and just talking about, even if we sound like complete idiots to the actual like professional runners out there.
We always sound like,
you know, it's just a passion that now we both share, and it's a lot of fun, and there's, you know, a lot more that we can both do with it. So
I was talking to our podcast with one of my coworkers, and he gave me the absolute best tagline. And I haven't told Cameron this, but Cameron, I 100% think that this should be the Second Half Sports tagline. You ready for this?
Yes.
Can you say yes? There you go. Second Half Sports, professional sports, amateur people. Boom.
That is a good one. I like that.
Right?
Yeah.
Professional sports, amateur people. But yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but let's get into it. First question, what got you into running? And this is, I mean, like I've already mentioned mine, I'll dive into it a little bit more, but Cameron, I want to know what got you into running. What was the thing that got you hooked? Was there a moment? Was there a movement? What was it?
I think like around last summer, towards the end of the summer. I've always been pretty active, whether it's trying to work out and go to gyms or going on runs or running bikes. But I wanted something that I could really cling to and do, you know, every day, and that I would feel like I would enjoy. And I think I wanted something to work towards. And so when I thought of that, I thought of like doing a race. And one of my buddies who I actually work with, Nick Lawford, we've talked about him, I think like once maybe on the podcast before out of all 56 episodes, but he used to run in college for Portland State. So I had talked to him about it. And then we kind of just got into talking about running the Portland half marathon. And then we just kind of sent it and signed up and started training. And I didn't know anything about training. I didn't know anything about, you know, running, like actually running, getting ready for a race. I thought it was just like, oh, just like run when you can and like just, you know, diddle around and feel good about what you're doing. And, but anyway, so it just started going and we trained for like 3 months. And then after that first race, you know, you finish, you cross the finish line and I told you this, it feels so much better because not only did you finish that race and you're like, oh man, like that was so nice. But you also think back to like all 3 months or 2 months or however long you train, you think back and you're like, man, all that work was so, it could have been shitty like in the moment, but it's so good now because of how good I feel right now. Like and like to see the result, to see the reward. And that's with anything, right? Like working out, you know, anything you like, if you're doing a project for work, like all the work you put in for something and then you get to the end result and you're like, it was all so worth it. That was what I became kind of addicted to in a sense. So then I just kind of kept signing up for them, and it's kind of a good way to pass the time too, because it takes like 3 months or 2 months, like I said, to train with the things that I do for the races I've done. So it, you know, I finished that one, then I was like, okay, I'm going to sign up for another one. I signed up for another one in December, and I was like, okay, so the next 2 months, I know that I'm just going to be training. And you just kind of, it kind of helps you plan out, you know, things. You feel a little bit busier. You feel better because you're being productive. You feel better because you're being healthy and you're taking care of your body by doing all this stuff. That's not to say that there haven't been, you know, injuries, and I'm sure you can attest to that too. I've had injuries as well throughout the way, but it's very rewarding because it's such a long thing. There's no way to like beat around the bush, and there's no secret formula to just like be good at running in like a week. If you don't train and you don't spend that amount of time, it's going to show, because you're going to see it in your time at the end of a race, no matter what. There's no way to get around that. So that's the other thing too. You can't skip corners with running. I'll let you talk about it too, but like what got you into it and what you like about it. But that's pretty much, you know, you got to work. It's a longevity thing. You have to take care of your body too. So I've learned how to listen to my body more than I ever have. But it's I don't see myself stopping for a long, long time. And I've loved that.
Yeah. I love all that. And yeah, I mean, I guess I can answer the question. And I think a lot of what I'm going to say too, like runs in that same sentiment. But for me, I guess it was a little bit different. Like I also like, all throughout college, like we played intramural sports. But I've been lifting weights since I was 16, like when I really got into it. And for the longest time, it was all bodybuilding and it wasn't anything, you know, no running. And then I remember right as COVID hit, I was the heaviest I've ever been. I was also the most jacked I've ever been. And I was weighing in at like 175 pounds, 180 pounds. And I was like, this just feels uncomfortable. Like I can't like jog, you know, I like get out of breath or, you know, what have you. And so when lockdown happened and I couldn't lift, I couldn't go to the gym, I was like, well, fuck it. I'm going to start running. So then I started running at least like a mile a day, a mile every 2 days, you know, just on my lunch break. Cause it's like, why not? I could just go out there and run for 9 minutes, come back and feel good about being productive. And then obviously like everything sort of opened up, and then I joined a CrossFit gym, and then it was more so based on like endurance and like cardiovascular health and not just like lifting weights to look like a strong gorilla. And, so I started running, and then the thing that really got me was, and this is no secret, I've talked about this on the podcast many, many times, was seeing your dedication that you had in your training. Because I remember the first time you told me that you were going to run the race. And this is an interesting point that I'll bring up later on too, because, you know, it just fits with some of our things. But, you know, to somebody who's never ran, like when I saw you train and run your half marathon, I had never really ran, right? Like the longest that I had ever ran in my life was 5 miles at that point. And it was like broken up over a lot of times. And yes, I did running, but it wasn't like races. And 13.1 miles felt like an eternity. I was like, holy shit, how can you do that, right? Like that's insane. And don't get me wrong, it still is. But having done it now twice, I can look back and be like, well, you know, a lot of that was also just like fear of like not knowing whether you're able to do it. So when I saw you finish, I was like, I remember it was in September, right? I think the half marathon, that the Portland half, was in September or October. And you had this very tangible thing that you did, and you put a lot of time and effort into it. And I remember I was at a point in my life where I was, you know, not doing so good. And I was like, I need something. And I need to do something now, and I need to do something that I'm not comfortable with, because if I keep doing things that I'm comfortable with, nothing's ever going to change. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to start running. So that night, I remember you posted something on Instagram about you finishing the half marathon. I talked to you about it. You're like, do it. And that night I went, signed up for the half marathon. And like you said, like you look back at the end of it, right? There's so much doubt, and and I'm interested to get your opinion on this now, having, cause you've run like 4 or 5 of them at this point. But even for me leading up to the second one, I still haven't done a rigorous training thing like you have. And I swear I'm going to, as I lead into this third one that I have scheduled for September. But there's so much doubt, and like every run sucks. Like every single run sucks. There's no having fun with it. It's not fun. It's not fun because it's like actively doing something that makes you uncomfortable. Right. That's not to say running isn't fun, but to say the training isn't. But you kind of have to understand that that's like the thing, right? And this is kind of like what got me into it, is I'm very type B. Like if something's kicking my ass, I want to get better at it. And running kicked my ass. And I still don't think I'm good. I still think I'm getting better. But yeah, I mean, honestly, like I think the thing that got me into running was you. So hey, hats off to you, my guy. I got to give you a round of applause. But it's funny. It's funny how that works, because I absolutely hated cardio for the longest time. I wouldn't even like do the stair climber when I was at the gym. And now like I actually sort of enjoy running races. So who would have thunk?
Well, I'm glad that you caught on to it. I know a lot of people that I talk to about it, or like they just ask like what I do for fun or what like hobbies I have. And when I say running, and you've probably seen this now, like when you say running, you talk about running to people, like that you get a funny look, and you're like, yeah. Oh, well, like how do you just go on like a mile run, or like you go on walks, and you're just like, no, I run like 6 miles, like on an average day or something. And they're just like,
yeah,
you are dumb. You don't like, that's not fun. And like, for me, it is like, I do have, like, there's a lot of runs for me that are shitty. Yes. But there's a lot of runs that I love. Like when it's not raining, most of the ones I hate are rainy runs, but when it's not raining, I'll find different routes. And we've ran through my neighborhood, like up the road. And like just looking at people, like different houses, looking at what people are doing outside. You know, cars are driving by. I always listen to music. Like it doesn't really get old for me. So I try to just zone out, obviously focus on my times and stuff when it's a timing, or like a pace workout. But you know, for the most part, it's really soothing for me. More so, another thing, what kind of got me into it is before I actually started running for races and running every day, I did enjoy running because it was a stress relief for me. I could clear my head. I could, you know, just let go of all the worries, because for those 45 minutes that I'm on a run or something like that, there's really nothing else that I can think about or focus on, or, you know, no one can talk to me, no one can get to me type of thing. If I want to think about something while I'm running, and really, like if I have a decision to make, it's also really nice in that way. Like I can just focus on that one thing. But most of the time I just use it just to zone out, focus on my breathing, focus on just, you know, listen to music, enjoying myself. And that's another thing that I really like about it. But no, man, I mean, I'm glad you got into it, because it's been really fun to like talk to you about races and what kind of workouts you're doing. And, you know, just watch now as I have somebody else to, like see their progress and see, you know, I know your race that you did this last weekend, you enjoyed, and just kind of seeing how it affects people, because like I said, there's a lot of people that are just not into that type of thing.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, I mean, this will kind of lead into our second question, but like, you know, in terms of benefits that you've seen, like while running, I think the most beneficial thing that I've seen from it is just like a mental discipline almost. And when I was running, so this past race, the way it worked was half marathoners also went at the same time that quarter marathoners went. And it was just based on corrals, and I won't get into the race. It was kind of a hullabaloo. Like the timings were off, the aid stations were a little bit wonky, whatever. It was still a fun race. But my roommate Garrick ran it, and he ran the quarter and I ran the half. So for the first 6.5 miles, we had the opportunity to run with each other. So, and this is something that like I've talked to him about as him and I were sort of training leading up to our individual races, is running is so much more like it's a war of attrition, meaning like it's a grind, right? Like there's no cheating a run. Like you could cheat anything else, right? You could cheat other sports. If you're lifting, you can, you know, rep shave. If you're, you know, you can always like have terrible form and still get the weight up. If you're playing sports, you can cheat. But like running, there is no way you can cheat from point A to point B in the fastest time, unless obviously you're like using motorized things, right? But like by yourself. And running is such a war of attrition in that fact that like you have to mentally prepare yourself for the fact that you are going to be running 13 miles. Like there's no like, oh, hey, I'm going to go run 13 miles and just like turn my brain off, right? Like you are physically running that 13 miles, even if you can't turn your brain off. But I think that has been the most like beneficial thing. So I don't know. Do you have anything else like in terms of other stuff?
I just have noticed like I feel better throughout the day. Like obviously there's results of like you can kind of like feel your legs getting stronger. You can feel your cardio getting up. Your breathing gets a lot easier and nicer. But overall, I just feel like I have more energy throughout the day, and I feel like I am more focused. That's been the major thing. And like I said, it's not just cardio, like working out. Like working out, you can get the same thing. But for me, yeah, like I enjoy that about whether you're working out or running. Like I just feel better throughout the day. I feel more energized. I feel healthier. It makes me want to like eat healthier too, because then you're just like doing what's right for your body during a run. Mm-hmm. If you eat healthier and treat your body right. So in that sense, yeah, I just, yeah. But when we're talking about training, we talked about like whether it's 3 months or 2 months or whatever like that. I'm curious, because I know that I've been doing kind of the same type of regimen, but like what has your training looked like in the races that you've done so far, of, you know, the progression leading into a race, what's worked, what hasn't, where, you know, what have you kind of set yourself up for?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I haven't been doing any training, and I hate saying that. I truly do, because of all the stuff that I just said. But no, I haven't really been doing training, and I count myself extremely lucky to be able to say that, because I think going from couch to race is not an easy thing. And I'm lucky in the fact that I've always sort of been, since I started like doing, you know, sports and lifting weights, I've always been a little bit more active. Then I'd say like just general, you know, gen pop. But in terms of like my training, it's the best thing that I've seen is this, is like, I used to only be able to run a mile, right? So like I would run a mile every day, but it'd be a grueling mile. Now the shortest run that I'll ever do, like during a training week or just in general, is a 5K, like 3.1 miles is the shortest I'll ever go.
Right.
And that feels comfortable to me. So leading up, like, this Savi Island race, you know, I was battling so many injuries, and I think that's an important thing. Like when it comes to training and like optimal progression leading into a race, it's like, if you're injured, you can't force it. Like the amount of times that like I've had injuries going into the gym and I just like keep forcing myself, like that's why my shoulder's all jacked up, is because like just years of training with like a busted shoulder. Running, I knew I couldn't do, because it's like, yeah, the shoulder can still work if I'm not, you know, shoulder pressing, but if I mess up my legs bad, that's not going to be good for me long term. Like, I'm not going to be able to walk. So really just like listening to your body. And leading up to the Savi Island one, I really cranked it up in the last like 3 weeks. My training was essentially every day I would essentially run like a 5K. So I would run a 5K, I would take a day off. Then I would do like a 5 miler, another 5 miler, maybe take a day off, 5K. And then on my Saturdays, you were usually my long runs. So I did like a 10 miler on Saturday. And I knew just having prior progress, like having finished a half marathon, well, if I could do 10, I could do 13. But you have had more of a structured, you know, training. And I think that just goes to show your discipline a little bit more. But I know you've incorporated like tempo runs, long runs, hill sprints, right? Like all that. I think it's incredibly beneficial. And there is like, there's so many good resources out there that if you do want to start running, or if you just want to start like, you know, getting active, like having a proper progression system is the way to go. I hate the fact that I don't do that because I know I could be so much better. And that's why like I'm really dedicating myself to following that proper progression, especially leading up to this next race, because, you know, the Savi Island one, I PR'd by 3 minutes and I felt really good. I can't say anything bad about it. Like, I even stopped halfway through the race to use the bathroom, and then I even dropped my phone at one point. So like there was moments where I stopped running because of other reasons and I still PR'd, right? So I'm thinking in my head now leading up to this next race, like I wonder what my record will be having actually put in the work. So there's tons and tons of resources, but yeah, definitely like I would say the long run and keeping your long runs at a steady state, like stage two in terms of cardiovascular, like your heartbeat, making sure that you're not working too difficult. Those long runs should be easy. Like they shouldn't make you should be able to have conversations as you're running them. And that'll help sort of build up your endurance. But then obviously like work on sprints, you know, just like flat intervals or hill sprints to work on like putting that intensity and that stress kind of on your legs. The long runs will be more of a mental battle for you to understand the distance that you're running, but everything else is just accessory work that adds to the machine, right? So,
right.
A lot of different ways. And I know you do all that, but I want to ask you a second question now, Cameron. Say you're an average Joe, you want to start running. How do you get into running? Tell me, like, is there anything that you absolutely need? What's the bare minimum and any sort of like, you know, other helpful things for the people that are just trying to get into it?
For people that are just trying to get into it, I mean, I know for me, you just got to get out and run. I know that it sounds kind of like obviously cliche, but like, cause you're just like, no shit, but you just got to get out. It doesn't have to be every day, even if it's just, you know, 2 times or 3 times a week, just start building that habit and that kind of, you know, second nature, where your body just has the, you want to work on your form. Like you were kind of touching on there towards the end of like, when you're in long runs and you towards the end are getting really gassed and tired, you want to be able to rely on your form. You're not going to try to, you know, burn everybody out of the water and run your fastest time, but you want to focus on your form because that's the thing that you're going to trust the most. So, you know, even in the early days, I know when Nick and I would go on runs, I would focus on form and, your heart rate, is extremely important, especially early on, because it's not going to be used to running higher miles, on days. If you go on like a 7 mile run and you haven't ran that much in a long time, I mean, your heart rate's going to be jumping up there. So I would, you know, choose a threshold of where, you're, you know, comfortable with getting your heart rate up to. Once you get up there, it's okay to slow down and it's okay to stop. And it's okay to, you know, once you get to 5 miles and your heart rate is, you know, extreme, then just stop and just walk for a little bit, get it lower and then run again. I mean, we would go on long runs even after I've been doing it for a couple months, we'd go on long runs still. And if it's like a 10 mile long run and mile 7, my heart rate is just way too high. You know, we'll stop and take a water break, or we'll stop and just chill for, you know, even just a minute just to get it back down, because it's not good. So again, kind of what I said in the beginning, listen to your body. You know, we'll get into, we're about to talk about just equipment and stuff that Newbar and I have that is a must to have, or something that we really have enjoyed. in kind of getting into our journeys. But for me, I have to have something that tells me my heart rate because of that. You want to listen to your body. You don't want to push yourself. It's extremely unhealthy if you don't. If you try to push through an injury, you're just prolonging it, and long term it's going to hurt you and you're not going to be able to run down the road. So for anybody starting out, yeah, just get outside. Just, you don't have to run 5 miles first day, run 2 miles, or run a mile and then walk back a second mile, and
or jog a half a mile. Like,
you're still building, that threshold. You're still building your form. You're still burning off those calories. Anything that's just getting you into that shape is gonna be beneficial for you. So
yeah,
just get outside. You can always look up workouts. I mean, I just build my schedules, as I sign up for races. We just build our schedules for, there's long runs, you can choose different routes and put that on your schedule, switch it up and keep it fresh for yourself. Make sure that you're doing, if you're in race form and you want to know what I've been doing or Newbar's been doing, you can always reach out to us. But, tempo runs are always really productive, where you're picking up the pace, pretty much to race pace. Recovery runs, everybody asks, do you take rest days? I take rest days on the weekends, but also it's important that even during the week, on a day you run, treat one of those runs as a resting run. Like, just don't even watch your pace or time. Obviously record it for your heart rate and everything like that, but just don't worry about your pace. Just, you're running 4 or 5 miles or 6 miles, whatever it is. Just run it, run with a friend, have a conversation, something like that. And then, do something challenging, run hills, run a track and do a speed workout. Go do something really, really challenging that is going to push you to your limit. Just keep it fresh. I try to keep every day different, because it also just makes, it can get not mind numbing at some time, at some points during trainings, just as much as I do, Newbar, that it can just get mind numbing if you do the same thing every day. So it's really important to keep it different, and just keep it fresh for yourself.
Yeah. And find a friend. I mean, that was the big realization that I had during this race was, I absolutely hate training because I hate training alone.
Right.
But when I'm running with people, like when I'm running during a race, man, that I've never had an hour 49 minutes fly by as fast as that race did. And that race only got difficult when I hit about mile 10, because I hit a dead zone where there was nobody ahead of me and there was nobody behind me. I couldn't see the next people up and I couldn't see the people behind me, and it was just by myself. So find a friend, and like Cameron said, just move, my mom, she's seen me do all these runs and she wanted to do something. So I signed her up for a 5K and she's planning on just walking. Right. But it's a start. That's where you start. So literally doing anything. But Cameron, we did talk about some running equipment. So how about you tell me some running equipment that you can't live without, or that have made the biggest difference for you? I know this is my camp here. I have so much equipment. But what do you got?
Yeah, I mean, I won't touch on anything that I know you're going to touch on. I know that you have an actual heart rate monitor, but my thing is like I said, just have something. I have an Apple Watch that I wear. I know you can get a Garmin, but just have something that you can track your runs on. Even if you carry your phone with you, I know there's the Nike Running app or the Nike Run Club. You can track your runs on that. It's just important just to track your progress. You don't have to. No one's saying that you have to be successful or be productive, but it's just fun to track your progress like that. The other thing that I have is I have a massage gun and a roller. Just recovery is key, especially if you're running every day. If you don't take care of your legs, you're going to feel it down the road. It's just not going to be a good thing. You're pretty much just deteriorating your running life expectancy, if you will, and just your leg health overall. So I have a bunch of different stuff. I know Newbar does. I have bands that I do leg workouts with. Just if I'm sitting watching TV, I'll do a leg workout, just legs, just to keep them fresh. Because I mean, when you're in the heat of training for a race, you're tightening up, everything's cramping, using Icy Hot, icing your legs, doing ice baths once a week once you get in the middle of training and towards the end of training. I know I took a ton of ice baths. just be proactive and be over cautious about taking care of your legs, because it takes a huge toll on you as you're going. I know even after this BC race, even though I said it was something where I didn't go as fast as I could have, and we just wanted to do it for enjoyment, my legs still hurt afterwards. They still hurt, you know, before for the training, before, and I've had to, you know, take caution and take care of my legs the last 2 weeks, and, you know, icy hot and ice my legs and massage my legs. And I haven't even been running the last 2 weeks because we took 2 weeks off. But it's still, that's what I'm saying, is it's still just as important. So I'll let you talk about, because I know you have a couple things since you're fresher of, you know, starting and getting all this, all the features and gears of what makes a difference for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm still in the honeymoon phase when it comes to running. But that's, I believe, good. In gadgets, and I believe in all these accessories. And I think, what'd you say?
I said, that's good. The honeymoon phase.
Yeah. So I believe in all this stuff is accessory. Like, you don't need this, but it certainly helps. So first and foremost, a running belt changed my life. I used to run with my phone in my hand. God, I got a running belt. Now I don't even have to think about it. I can really focus on like nothing. My hands don't get sweaty. I don't have fear of dropping my phone, even though I dropped my phone during this race. Running belt, by far, best thing. Second, yeah, heart rate monitors, right? So like, I have a Garmin watch that tells me on my wrist, but wrist rated heart rate monitors aren't necessarily the most accurate. So I got a chest strap one, and I did that because my runs were feeling really difficult and I couldn't understand why. My slow runs felt a lot slower and my regular runs felt too quick. And I started using the chest strap monitor to like manage where my heart rate was at, and then, find out what my zone two is. So like I think it's like 40% of your max heart rate, and train underneath that on my long runs. So that's given me a lot of useful data. And then lastly, KT tape, man, you got me on this when you and I had our first run together way back when. For this race, Cameron, you and I had a bet over under on how much KT tape I used. You said 9. I think I put the over at like 4. I ended up using 6 pieces of KT tape.
Let's go.
It's been great. It just kind of like gets your mind off of it. It helps pull some muscles that you don't normally like fire, or if they fire incorrectly, like KT tape just kind of helps keep everything snug. Again, just sort of like a preventative measure. But yeah, I mean, that's essentially like my list of essentials. But Cameron, I wanted to ask you this because the episode's wrapping up and I know you and I are both very busy. But I want to ask you this. What are your upcoming goals when it comes to running in the future? What other races do you have planned? Do you have any other like sort of things that you want done in the future? Maybe not necessarily, you know, a couple months down the line, but a few years maybe.
I mean, I know at least this year I have the Chicago half marathon in the end of September. I know that's like a really demanding course. It's like very well known to be pretty tough course, but I'm going to try to run my best time on that course. So that'll be something where, you know, we'll talk about it during the podcast as we go throughout the next months here, but that'll be a really brutal training program that I put myself on for that one. You know, properly training for a half, or a full marathon. I really want to do a full marathon. I don't think it'll be until next year, 2023, but, that is something that I really have set my sights on. Even if my time is really slow, I really want to do that and have that in my back pocket. I think that'd be really fun. I think it'd be really fun for something you and I to do together, since we've just talked about this and talked about,
that up.
You know, doing that type of thing, and we both could build up and give ourselves a good amount of time, adequate amount of time for training and getting to that point. So I've known since the beginning that I've wanted to collect a good handful of half marathons, get those in my bag, get that experience, and then try to make that jump into the full marathon. I know, you know, we have down here and have talked about Hood to Coast. I think that'd be something really fun to do with, you know, some of our friends that are passionate about fitness in overall. I mean, not even running, but just if somebody's passionate about fitness, I'm sure like we could get Nate to come up and do it with us. I'm sure we could get, you know, a bunch of people to get on our team, but that would be something fun to do. I know I've worked with a dude who did an Ironman. I really wanted to do an Ironman, but I don't know when I'm going to do that ever. I think that might be a little bit a little bit more down the road, but that is also something on the horizon that I would like to kind of build up to. I want to do a marathon first, obviously, but yeah, those are some things that I have at least. What are you thinking the same type of deals or?
Yeah, man. I mean, first and foremost, and this is the one that's like most pressing, is I want to properly train for a half marathon and I want to like smash my time. I set a goal for myself when, after I finished my last one, my first half marathon, that I wanted to get a sub 145. So 8 minute pace. I think that's incredibly plausible. I'm getting there now. So that's my first one. My second one, yes, like you said, run a full marathon. I think it would be great if you and I did it together. I also saw at the Savi Island one that there's, you know, relay races, like there's half marathon relays, where you do it with a partner. So shoot, maybe you and I sign up, find something for that. But yeah, Hood to Coast was something that Garrick brought up. And I think that would be great. Like you, me, him, Nate, other people, all of our friends that like running fitness, could get on and do it. It's been sold out for the past 30 years though. So it's kind of hard to get in, but I mean, that would be great. And then my very end goal would be to run an ultra marathon, but not just any ultra marathon, 100 miler, 24 hours, 100 miles.
There's no way in hell I'm ever doing that.
Dude, there's a fantastic documentary. It's not even a documentary, but it kind of is. It's on YouTube. It's called How to Run an Ultra Marathon. It's by REI. It's about one of their, like a person that works for REI. And the documentary is him documenting his best friend that is training to run an ultra marathon, and they run together. And it's just, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful story. It's about 40 minutes. If you have time, I highly recommend it. Cameron, I don't think you've ever watched it. I've watched it about 4 or 5 times. It does not stop to make me emotional at the end. And it's also another reason that like helped me through my runs. So highly recommend that. But yeah, I mean, those are my goals for the future. Like I said, I'm just excited, man. This next one I have is in September, and my mom's doing a 5K, and I got all my friends to do it with me. You know, they're not running halves, but they're doing the other races, and we're all going to be there. And that's really what it's all about. You and I have not had the privilege of running one together yet. I hope that next year you and I could do the Las Vegas one. I think that would be great.
I think that'd be fun. I think our time is coming. I think we will. And I think it may be that we're on different tracks and we might just end up doing a full marathon together.
I hope so, my friend.
That'd be pretty sick. But I'd get pretty emotional.
Dude, I would get emotional. Maybe, thinking about it
right now. I'm crying right now just thinking about it. I'm
crying right now, man. Get these onions out of my room. but yeah, Cameron, that's all we got for today's episode, my friend. I'm glad we could do this. This is something that I wanted to talk about for a while. And if you want to hear more about running, hey, let us know. We'll do more episodes on this, people. We like this stuff. Just thought we'd do something a little bit different, seeing as how some NBA, NFL, MLB is kind of slow this week. But I mean, as always, Cameron, that's episode 56. If you like what you heard, leave us a rating, leave us a review, find us where you get all your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher. Drop into the description down below, and then you can see our Instagram handle at Second Half Sports Pod. Send us a follow. I know Cameron, you and I have been talking about adjusting our publishing schedule. So if that does end up happening, we'll not only give an announcement here on the podcast, but we will also give an announcement on our Instagram. So go follow us. What are you doing?
Yes, we will. What are you doing right now? Go follow us.
Go do it. And that's all I got, Cameron. Do you have anything left to say? If not, I want you to send us off, my friend.
I don't think I have anything else to say other than drive safe.
He said it. Gotta
love it, baby. Thank you for listening to the Second Half Sports Podcast. Make sure to subscribe on Spotify and Apple Podcasts today. And check out at Second Half Sports Pod on Instagram for all your second half sports news and updates.